And welcome to The Morning Magazine, your Front Range morning news program here on Community Radio, KGNU. It's Friday, January 3rd. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Hanalee Myers. Coming up on today's Morning Magazine, it is the first Friday of the month, and that means we have another edition of the Nature Almanac for you. This morning, we join the Boulder County Nature Association on their winter solstice hike as they observe kestrels and bald eagles and along the trail, as well as hold a circle gathering to welcome 2020. Then we speak with One Colorado about Jude's Law that went into effect on the 1st and makes it easier for transgender and non-binary Coloradans to update their name and gender on state-issued identity documents. Then we'll hear about an art exhibit currently on display at the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art that explores violations of human rights and immigration. At 8:30, we go to Connections. This morning, KGNU's Duncan Campbell is joined by David Corton, author of the book When Corporations Rule the World and Change the Story, Change the Future. They'll be having a show discussing what the future may hold in 2020, a pivotal year. As always on Connections, your calls will be welcome. But first, at 8:05, it's time for your local headlines. Here's Steve Miller.
A bipartisan interim committee charged with changing Colorado's outdated formula for distributing money to state schools will not be recommending any legislation in 2020. Colorado Politics reports that State Representative Julie McCluskey of Dillon said the group ran out of time as it reached the end of the third year of what started as a two-year process. School district leaders have objected to any plan that would reduce the current level of funding for some districts. Five different initiatives have moved forward in the process in getting on the November ballot. Maeve Conran has more.
The ballot initiatives that were signed off by the Colorado Initiative Title Setting Review Board on Thursday include a measure establishing an Election Day holiday in even-numbered years, and another measure to provide tax credits for voting in primary and general elections. Initiative 83 would see Colorado residents who vote in primary and general elections receiving a $40 tax credit for each occasion on which they vote, beginning January 2022. Colorado Politics reports that the title board also approved the title of an initiative that it had previously blocked. Initiative 127, nicknamed the Petition Rights Amendment, would establish a right to ballot initiative at all levels of government. The title board had struck down previous versions because it had more than one subject matter, contravening state law. After yesterday's approval, the initiatives are now cleared to begin the signature gathering process to get on the ballot. 2020 is shaping up to be a crowded ballot, with several measures being discussed that would seek to tackle TABOR, or the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Last month, proponents of another measure that would see wolves being reintroduced in Colorado submitted what they say are enough signatures to appear on the statewide ballot in 2020. The signatures are pending verification by the Secretary of State's office. For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran.
The City of Boulder on Thursday announced that Boulder renters are set to earn less interest on their security deposits this year. The Daily Camera reports the interest rate for 2020 tenant security deposits was set at 0.39%, down from 0.75% in 2019. The interest rate is the mathematical average of the one-year certificate of deposit and based on market share data. The interest rates for appreciation of deposits given to landlords meant to be given back to tenants is based on a 2004 city law. For support to answer lease questions and for landlord-tenant issues, you can call the Community Mediation Service at 303-441-4364. And in the weather today, sunny and windy, highs in the mid-40s, and over the weekend, mostly sunny Saturday and Sunday, highs in the mid-upper 50s on Saturday and in the upper 40s on Sunday. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
It's January. What's happening in the natural world? We go with Scott Sievers, Boulder naturalist, and the Boulder County Nature Association on their annual winter solstice hike and circle gathering, where they recite poetry and share thoughts about the past year and this new year up ahead.
I also have really fond of the ritual of looking for something to read. Like, that's part of my preparation. I tuck things away for the year and I rummage around the internet. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
What do I have to say? What a poet has said, well...
That's beautiful, that band going across the sky.
Yeah, the beautiful wave cloud across the top of the Flatirons. I was wondering if the sunrise is going to be showing up because it looks so clear to the east. Two kestrels. So he's got a very red back and blue wings.
Oh, it's so big looking for a kestrel.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is really fluffed up to stay warm. Do kestrels roost in cavities overnight?
They can. I had a friend who was roosting on his porch in a little space at night.
Are the kestrels the ones that can hover?
Yes. They're really good at following vole urine trails in the snow in the wintertime.
No, okay.
So they can see the spectrum that the urine...
Wow, it's, so it kind of shows up like fluorescence?
Kind of.
If somebody wants to look through the binoculars, you can see the female is below and she's a little larger than the male.
They are so beautiful.
They are.
So the male's up above?
The female's a little bit bigger, and the male has more color, kind of that slaty and rusty colors.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
That's cool.
What is it?
One of the immature bald eagles, probably one of the ones from this nest over here.
That's great.
Are they so dark when they're young?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely a first-year bald eagle. But notice just how dark the head is. That bird was hatched almost a year ago. Black-capped chickadee. And I'm hearing a goldfinch.
There's these kingfishers that live there. I hear them all the time. They've got their little spot there.
Circle up together a little closer. We usually have a sharing of poems or songs, and then we'll walk slowly back.
Light is returning, even though it is the darkest hour, no one can hold back the dawn. Let us keep it burning. Let us keep the light of hope alive. Make safe our journey through the storm.
So in this season of generous giving and gracious receiving, for those of us who have lost a loved one this year, whether to old age or disease or, in my case, disability of a child, or to suicide or to whatever took our loved one this year, I still feel grateful that I was given the opportunity and the time, however brief, to love someone.
Short Bits by Wendell Berry. Now may the grace of death be upon her, her spirit's blessed in the deep song of the world, and the stars turning, the seasons returning, and long rest. The other one, this is a complete poem. Best of any song is bird song in the quiet, but first you must have the quiet.
And now
thanks to Gabu Ted Thomas, who taught me this, we can do a humming bee. So everybody, we hum, hum, hum. And then at some point, I'll say, and all the people say, and you raise your hands up high and shout, the best is yet to come. So we start low and build the humming bee. And all the people say,
the best is yet to come.
Scott Sievers is a Boulder naturalist. The Boulder County Nature Association is people who love nature.
And you can find the Nature Almanac here on KGNU the first Friday of the month every month. The time is just coming up on 8:15, and you are listening to KGNU. Just a few days ago, on January 1st, Jude's Law went into effect. Jude's Law, or Colorado House Bill 19-1039, makes it easier for transgender and non-binary Coloradans to update their name and gender on state-issued identity documents. Here on the line to tell us more, we have Daniel Ramos, Executive Director of One Colorado. That's the state's leading advocacy organization dedicated to advancing equality for the LGBTQ community. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So give us the details on how Jude's Law works and how it makes things easier for transgender and non-binary Coloradans.
Yeah, so over the last couple of years, we at One Colorado have been working on legislation that would ease the process for transgender and non-binary Coloradans to update their state documentation. There are some really important barriers that were in place. One is that if a transgender person wanted to update the gender on their birth certificate, they had to first go and get a surgery, which not all insurance covers. Not all people are healthy enough to get. Maybe not all people want a surgery, but it was required. And then second, a person was then ordered to go before a judge and prove to a judge that they had a surgery for them to be issued a court order. And then lastly, they had to be had to have a doctor's note in order to change any of these documentations. So what we've done in Colorado is we've eliminated all three of those barriers. So there's no longer a need to have a surgery, a court order, or even a doctor's note for someone to update the gender on their state IDs. And so now in Colorado, we have three gender options for male, female, and X. And X designation is people who identify as neither male nor female. So we have all three of those options. And we also have self-certification, self-attestation. So myself, as a non-transgender person, I self-certify who I am every day. And so why should that be any different for transgender people? So now transgender non-binary folks can have, we have three options. We've also have self-attestation. And then for folks who want to change their name, we've also removed a really important and often cases sometimes dangerous barrier, which is publishing your name change in the newspaper three times. And so here in Colorado, we've made it easier so that folks can have matching identity documents anytime they go to register for school, they go to open up a bank account, or simply just show their ID. We can be assured now that we've eased the process for folks in having identity documents that simply match who they are.
And you've said a little bit about this, and I know there's a rich history and backstory on Jude's Law, but in the couple moments that we have, can you tell us a little bit about that backstory and the history behind this new bill?
So over the past couple of years, you know, transgender people and their families have come to the state legislature, they've talked in the media, and they've really shared their stories. They really opened up their lives so that we can educate the public on some of the barriers and some of the challenges that the transgender and non-binary community faces. One of those voices over the past couple of years has been Jude. You know, we met Jude back when she was 9 years old, coming for her first time to testify before the state legislature, and she's been back every time. Her and her family have spoken at press conferences. They've testified before the legislature. They've sat down with their own legislators. And so it was really special last legislative session when we passed the bill. You know, Representative Danaya Esgar and Senator Dominic Moreno were our lead sponsors. And Representative Esgar offered up an amendment that would name the bill after Jude, who's now 13 years old and went and changed her her identity documents yesterday, which makes it even more special knowing that something like this, a bill that we've been advocating for years, a bill that had strong bipartisan support in the state legislature and was, of course, signed by our governor, Jared Polis, that that's the impact that we can have. And that's really what's at stake in how we can make the lives of LGBTQ folks and specifically transgender and non-binary folks. We can improve their lives here in Colorado.
And where can listeners find out more? How can they get the detailed information that they need to either share it with others or get the work done themselves?
Yeah, so on our website, 1-colorado.org, there's a resources tab. And under the resources tab, we have an identity document section. So people can go there. They can download the direct forms that they need to take in to either the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Department of Public Health and Environment, and they can begin the process. And of course, people can always reach out to us at 1-Colorado for any resources, any support, answer any questions. And so all of that information is available on our website, and we've heard positive experiences from folks going to change their identity documents so far.
And that was Daniel Ramos, Executive Director of 1-Colorado, speaking to us about Jude's Law. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to your independent community radio station, KGNU. A new exhibit at the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art takes a look at human rights through highlighting current and historic violations of these rights. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Courtney Lane Stell with the mobile art group Black Cube, a guest curator at BMOCA, about the exhibit by artist Adriana Corral.
So the main artwork in the exhibition starts with the Black Cube project, a site-specific artwork that Black Cube funded 2 years ago. And what the artwork was is a flag that stood on the U.S.-Mexico border in a small town outside of El Paso called Socorro. And the flag stood at a human processing center called Rio Vista Farm. And it's one of many processing facilities, but the only standing one. Most have been leveled and lands have been sold. And this location was very important because the project was really about acknowledging the history of U.S.-Mexico border relations, labor laws, and how borders create moments where human rights violations are easier to occur. And so the drawing that you see on the wall is a drawing of the floor plan of Rio Vista, and centered within the drawing is the location of the flagpole. We mounted this flag, which continues to stand in Socorro as a landmark for this facility. And the flagpole stands 4 stories tall, and this is a very sort of rural farming community. So most buildings are around 1 story, maybe 2 stories tall. So you really see it from El Paso to Juarez. So the flag, I can describe here, has 2 eagles on it, a bald and a golden eagle. And both eagles are representative of nation's sort of patriotism. So the golden eagle associated with the Mexican flag and also the Aztecs. The story comes from an Aztec lore. And the bald eagle being not in our flag, but associated with the American government and sort of truth and freedom and these things that we espouse.
We are here at the BMOCA Museum, and we're walking around, and I have Courtney here describing to me what the exhibition from Adriana Corral, Unearthed, Desenterrado in Spanish, is all about. I would like you to explain to me, why is it that artists many times use this kind of very softly, you know, you look at the exhibition and there's these pale colors, these almost unearthly, they don't belong anywhere, but they are so profound. They really connect in a way those really hard moments in history and experiences with materials.
Well, I think first and foremost, You have to think about how an exhibition will relate to our community at the moment you produce it. And the exhibition was intentionally installed very minimal. There's many fewer works than the museum normally installs in this space. And also, the selection of work, we chose to select works that were more minimal and contemplative in content as well. And I think the reason for one reason for that is just thinking about our relationship to truth and information right now as a society. It seems like facts and false facts traffic in different ways. And so that leaves a real important opening within contemporary art for people to not see information that they have to read, but to see a door or a window opening that they have to interpret and contemplate on their own. So at a moment when we can Google anything we want, and our Google searches are predicted by algorithms based on our previous searches and our own values, it's really easy to just have your own worldviews reestablished all the time by seeking information, like Googling whatever random fact you want to know. And I think because of that, we have become a society that is less able to think on our own and to not just repeat talking points that we hear. So this work creates almost like a secular sort of church-like experience where I hope visitors really go into themselves and consider the works. Even though there are many works that speak about historic facts and human rights violations, such as the Feminicidios in Mexico and the U.S., it's approached more poetically. And more about sensibility, materiality, feeling, those kinds of things.
Would you want to go with me and walk around the exhibit and describe to me this material where you can see letters, but the letters are almost, you cannot read them because they are transparent. So if you can explain that as we walk.
So I think what you were reflecting on is the human rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights works. So here on the left is a series of several works that together create the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in Spanish on our left. And then across the gallery on our right, you see that in English. And the only reason the Spanish version is longer is because of the translation. So there's one frame in addition here. And one set of works, the Spanish version here is debossed, and the English version is embossed. So what you see instead of ink on paper is you see a series of white pieces of paper that have a deep impression that show the plate, the copper plate that was used to press the text into the image. And they're floated like objects, right? They're floated in a frame where you can see the edges of the paper. There's not a mat holding it down. And then the words come out not as ink, but as a relief in the Spanish version. So they protrude out from the paper. And they're white on white, you know, it's very empty. There's a balance in this work between fullness and emptiness, between absence and presence in all of the work. And it takes effort to try to read. It takes a different kind of attention than you normally read text on page. Sometimes it's hard to pick out some words and others, especially if you're not a native Spanish speaker. Some words translate easier, such as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's easier to intuit. But it was important for us also to lead with the Spanish language here, because, you know, this work is is very much about a community that is bilingual, that is not as divided as Mexico and the United States. This border community is a culture that exists on both sides of that community. So leading with that was really important for the exhibition as well.
Adriana Corral's art exhibit is on display at the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art until January 19th. You can find out more and see images at bmoca.org. And that does it for The Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hanley Myers. Want to remind everyone that there is a podcast of The Morning Magazine. So if you've missed certain shows, want to go back, you can just search for Morning Magazine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.